gray hood of his long cloak over his head, bowing slightly. But Uchichil noticed how Sorrow's long curved nails were driven so hard against the palms of his hands that crescents of blood showed brightly. Uchichil moved closer to the helpless youth, careful to avoid the fouled snow.
"We would like to visit some reputable stores. Which do you recommend?"
"Stores, mister? I heard tell of them. Where traders go, ain't none. Not for a month's march, there ain't."
Though most of the boy's words were incomprehensible to Uchichil, the negativity was clear. There was a long silence while he thumbed through the book.
Can you direct me to the best place to buy a real bargain, if you please? Thank you."
"I don't know nothing about nothing, mister. Swear to the blessed Savior Jesus Christ crucified, I know fucking nothing. I can't help you."
Uchichil blinked, fighting to control his temper. His translation book wasn't getting him anywhere. At the last hamlet, he made the mistake of speaking to an old man, only to find the dotard was deaf as granite. It had been a mercy to slit his throat for him. But now he was still failing. Failing was something that Uchichil didn't like.
"I will try again. I think his head is filled with lice."
The boy stared from one to the other, his face twitching with nerves, the cold making his whole body tremble. Already the yellow snow around his bare feet was turning to ice. These barbarians with such awesome blasters had come from the west. But everyone knew there was nothing to the west, just a land where chaos ruled and muties lived. The gross woman who had tugged at his penis with her rough hands had been frightening, but the one who was their leader and who was trying to speak to him in a crooked and halting tongue was the worst. He had eyes of gold, like the ferocious muty wolves that ravaged the land and were hunted for their furs. Never had the boy seen a man with such eyes. The face was kindly, the mouth full-lipped and generous. Yet the young lad could hardly breathe for the fear the man inspired. If only he knew what the man wanted, he would tell him. Tell him anything. If his family hadn't already been butchered, the lad would betray them now for his own life.
"I request you direct me to where I can find food and clothes."
It was Uchichil's last try. If this didn't work, suddenly an idea came to the boy. They wanted to find some place where there were clothes and food in abundance.
"Yes.
Da?
I know what you want. I heard tell of it. Ain't here. Ain't never seen it. Don't know anyone who has, but I heard tell of it."
The boy stopped as Uchichil waved a warning hand, frantically turned pages of his tattered little book, and finally found what he wanted.
"Slowly, if you please, madam. I am a stranger and a visitor to your land."
"Slowly? Sure. You want the stockpile. Word is, it's filled with stuff like you want. But my dad said it was all bear shit. Doesn't exist. Anyways, folks go there and they die there. That's what they say."
Stockpile? Clothes and food?
"Sure, mister. Stockpile. Near where Anchorage used to be."
Uchichil smiled to himself at the obvious wonderment he could read on the faces of Urach and Piechal.
"Where?"
"Near Anchorage. That way."
He gestured with his head to the southeast. Uchichil tweaked the lad's cheek, much as a kindly uncle would after his favorite nephew had answered some arcane riddle.
"He tells me that there is a place of great wealth southeast of here called Stockpile, near a place called Anchorage."
Uchichil consulted the book again to make sure he'd understood the boy.
"Yes, the boy is right. Tell the others we will go at dawn."
"And what of him?"
"What, this boy?"
"Da, what of him?"
It was a matter of supreme indifference to Uchichil now.
Kill him.
The boy died in appalling agony at the hands of Pieka the baker, their incendiary expert. Pieka found a novel way of introducing elongated pyrotabs into the youth's body, then lighting them. Pieka had always thrived on the laughter and praise of his comrades for his cleverness with fire. The next morning, having forgotten the threat of the cavalry at his back, Uchichil led his group toward Stockpile near Anchorage. South and east, toward the Stockpile, not far from where Anchorage had once stood. Supper was a doleful meal. More of the microwaves had gone on the blink, and the long room stank of burnt food. At least it helped to drown out the sour-sweet scent of death. Finn suggested that they move to another of the linked dormitories for the last night, but everyone felt too tired to bother. Ryan and JB had agreed on what they'd do. The maps showed the large town of Anchorage on the coast. Seemed worth a careful wreck to see what remained. All the maps were loaded, also food, heating supplies, ammo, and all the blasters they wanted. Lori's cut had been wiped and disinfected, and she was in good shape, talking excitedly about leaving the stockpile for the first time. Oki was the only one who made her dislike felt. The others simply accepted Lori as one of their own. The buggies were juiced and ready to roll. Doc had been unable to open the door to the chambers where they thought bodies might be frozen and stored, so the corpses of Hunniker, Quint, and Rachel had been placed outside the door.
Yeah, I guess it won't hurt Hun now.
Doc had also carefully noted the current re-entry code, and each of them had it written down and memorized.
It is the numbers 1, 0, and 8, followed by the letter J.
Each ice buggy held 3 or 4 people, with plenty of storage room for extra gas and supplies. Ryan was to drive the lead vehicle with Christy. JB would take the second with Lori and Finnegan. Hennings would share the third with Oki and Doc. The vehicles were already heavily armed with mortars and machine guns. Judging from his encounter with the local muties, Ryan figured they should be more than able to wipe out any opposition. At the suggestion of JB Dix, everyone went to bed early that night to be ready for a dawn start. Christy came to Ryan in the night, whispering that they should go to the next dormitory, where the beds were clean and the smell of death was missing, and where they could make love without being overheard. They found a bed in the other dorm, and she held him tight, her long hair brushing against his shoulders.
How do you feel about Hun?
Like I lost my best blaster.
What does that mean? You don't have any feelings about it at all?
No, that's not what I meant. Hun was my friend. Of course I have feelings about what happened to her. But the fact is, she got iced. Maybe it'll be